Fund death benefits. Supreme Court of Appeal weighs in on the 12-month period to identify and trace dependents. Lise de la Harpe, senior legal advisor at Sanlam. Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act, 1956. The Act, which regulates the payment of fund death benefits, imposes several duties on the Board of Trustees, especially when it comes to conducting proper investigations to identify and trace dependents. The Supreme Court of Appeal, SCA, on the 28th of May 2026 dismissed an appeal against a judgment of the High Court dealing with the interpretation of the 12-month period referred to in Section 37C. The Pension Funds Act, 1956. Before we can unpack this judgment, we first need to recap on the object of Section 37C. In essence, Section 37C of the Act imposes three duties on the Board of Trustees, namely to identify and trace dependents, as defined in Section 1 of the Act, and those persons, if any, who have been nominated by the deceased member, make benefit allocations on a fair and equitable basis, and lastly determine an appropriate mode of payment of the death benefit. The section goes on to stipulate timeframes for the payment of the death benefit, depending on the specific scenario, for example where there are dependents and no nominees, or no dependents and only a nominees, etc. In essence, it affords the trustees 12 months within which to identify and trace dependents and or nominees. The duty to pay is thus linked to when this 12-month period starts to run. There is a common misconception that the fund's duty to pay is always contingent on the expiry of this 12-month time period. This is not correct. The duty to pay is not dependent on the expiry of the 12-month period, but rather on whether the board is satisfied that it has investigated and considered the matter with due diligence and is in a position to make an equitable allocation. Conversely, Section 37C does not prohibit distribution of death benefits within 12 months. South African Retirement Annuity Fund v. Pension Funds Adjudicator and Another, 1163-2024, 2026, ZASC A79, the 28th of May 2026. Mr. Viljoen, a member of the South African Retirement Annuity Fund, the fund, died in December 2019, at which point a fund death benefit became payable in terms of Section 37C. The member had not nominated a beneficiary to receive the death benefit and died intestate. At the time the fund was informed of his death, no executor had been appointed to his estate, which was estimated to be below R250,000. The fund only learned about the death of the member for the first time on the 28th of March 2022, when the Mrs. Viljoen, his wife, submitted a claim to it. Mrs. Viljoen, who relied solely on a state old age grant, did not know about her husband's retirement annuity benefit. She was only made aware of this benefit by her broker in 2022, at which point she then lodged a claim to the fund. The fund refused her claim and instead paid the benefit to the deceased estate. The fund held the view that Section 37C mandates it to investigate and trace all the deceased members' dependents and to pay them the death benefit due to them. In this instance, it did not attempt to trace them. The reason for not doing so is that in its view that duty only arises if the fund learns of the death within 12 months of the death of a member. Since the fund only learned of the death after the 12 months had lapsed, it decided not to investigate, but to rather pay the death benefit into the member's deceased estate. Aggrieved by this, Mrs. Viljoen lodged a complaint to the Pension Fund Adjudicator, PFA. After considering the facts, the PFA set aside the fund's decision and ordered it to immediately commence with an investigation in terms of Section 37C. The fund lodged an application to the High Court to set aside the PFA's determination. The High Court rejected the fund's interpretation of Section 37C and held that a logical interpretation of the Section 37C with regards to the 12-month period must be applied, i.e., that the period starts to run once the fund becomes aware of the member's death. It accordingly upheld the determination of the PFA and dismissed the application with costs. The fund then lodged an appeal to the Supreme Court of Appeal, SCA, where it argued as follows. that are the proper interpretation of Section 37C. 1. Is that the 12-month period within which to identify and trace dependents commences on the date of the member's death. There is no obligation on the fund to trace the dependents or nominees of a member if the fund is made aware of the death of the member after a period of 12 months from the date of death of the member. In such instance, the benefit must be paid to the deceased estate. Lastly, it submitted that it was never the intention of the legislature that the creditors should wait indefinitely, whilst the fund is trying to trace the dependents or nominees. Consequently, the creditors should be preferred over the dependents or nominees. Mrs. Viljoen in turn argued that the trigger for Section 37C, 1, arises only when the fund learns of a member's death. Furthermore, the 12-month period stated in Section 37C, 1, serves as a guide, not a guillotine. Trustees are not bound by a member's date of death. The object of the Act is to make provision for the member on retirement, or to provide for the social security of his or her dependents and nominees should the member die before retirement. The payment of the pension benefit to deceased members' estates as a default would violate the rights of the dependents and nominees to equality and social security. In essence, the appeal concerned the interpretation of the phrase, within 12 months of the death of the member. As referred to in Section 37C of the Act, the question being whether Section 37C permitted the fund to pay the death benefit to the deceased's estate before establishing the identity of the deceased's dependents. The SCA found that the phrase, within 12 months of the death, is linked to a fund becoming aware of the member's death. Put differently, it's knowledge of the death of the member that triggers the identification and verification of the dependency process. Applying the aforesaid to the facts, it was common cause that the fund only became aware of Mr. Viljoen's death 2 years after his demise. However, to achieve the objective of the Act, the fund has to identify the dependents, make an equitable distribution and choose a method of payment to them. The fund cannot carry out these objectives without identifying the dependents. The fund's interpretation of Section 37C treats the payment to the estate as the default position, which is contrary to the objective of this section and would lead to absurdity. Payment to the deceased estate can only be made once all the statutory avenues for tracing and identifying dependents and nominees have been exhausted. Under Section 37C, 1c, if no dependents or nominees are found, the benefit will be paid to the estate. With regards to the fund's argument re creditors, the SCA held that, considering the social purpose of Section 37C, it is indisputable that this provision prioritizes the financial security of the deceased member's dependents. Furthermore, Section 37B of the Act, which provides that if a member's estate is sequestrated, their pension fund interest does not form part of the insolvent estate, operates alongside Section 37C, which is also in line with the purpose of the Act. The SCA accordingly concluded that the High Court correctly dismissed the application. Conclusion. The Viljoen case again highlights the importance of a proper understanding of Section 37C and the duties it imposes on the Board of Trustees. Failure to do so not only harms dependents who rely on these funds, but also amounts to maladministration of the fund. Ends. Author at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam plus posts bio at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam, does abandoning your child render you unworthy to inherit? At Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam directors, take heed. Liquidation does not extinguish liability under Section 13A of the Pension Funds Act at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam Direct Marketing. Unpacking the conflict between the amended CPA regulations and POPIA at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam Impact of the Revenue Laws Amendment Act, 2025, on Provident Preservation Fund members at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam King V and the Concept of Independence. Impact on Retirement Fund Board of Trustees at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam King V Code on Corporate Governance. Getting ready for its implementation at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam National Assembly approves Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2025. At Lies de la Harpe, Sanlam FSCA publishes budget, estimates of expenditure, levies and fees proposals at Lies de la Harpe. Sanlam Section 37D deduction in respect of damages caused to an employer, obtaining an interdict against a fund preventing it from releasing fund benefits at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam Ombud Council publishes draft rules for the Office of the Pension Funds Adjudicator at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam, is it not time for our law to make provision for the deposition of an affidavit virtually? At L'Aise de la Harpe, Sanlam Financial Services Tribunal reaffirms the pension funds adjudicator's jurisdiction when it comes to enforcing divorce orders at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam, the Constitutional Court weighs in on the distribution of death benefits in terms of Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes final conduct standard-setting requirements for pension fund benefit administrators at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes joint communication on cloud computing and data offshoring at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam Fund Death Benefits. The weight of a beneficiary nomination. At L'Aise de la Harpe, Sanlam Tribunal rules on FSCA's authority to impose time limits on exemptions granted in terms of Section 7B of the Pension Funds Act at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA intends keeping a keen eye on fees charged on two-pot savings withdrawal claims at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam APAIA request for information is not a pre-discovery tool at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam OPFA Communication 1 of 2025 update on application of in duplum rule at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes conduct standard prescribing requirements for financial institutions providing financial education initiatives at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam the risk in material non-disclosure at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam fund benefits and third-party bank accounts at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam recent adjudicator determination highlights importance of following S37D process at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam to be married or not to be. At L'Aise de la Harpe, Sanlam Section 2B of the Wills Act, the effect of divorce on your will at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam non-payment of retirement fund contributions. The risk of being held personally liable at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam legal expert unpacks the expropriation bill at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam litigants take heed. The pitfalls of relying on artificial intelligence at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam Treasury publishes the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2025 at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam update from National Treasury on the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2024 at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam deduction from fund benefits in respect of damages caused to an employer. The limitations set out in the Pension Funds Act at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes request for information in respect of board members of retirement funds at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam death benefits and Section 37C. The duty to identify and trace dependents. At L'Aise de la Harpe, Sanlam two-pot truths for essays burning retirement questions at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes request for information on charges and fees charged on two-pot savings withdrawal claims at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam Pension Funds Adjudicator publishes communication on the two-pot system at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam Treasury publishes the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2024 at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam Pension Funds Amendment Bill, 2024 impact on treatment of maintenance orders at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam Ombud Council publishes its new rules at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes draft forms for Section 14 transfers in terms of the Pension Funds Act at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam what happens when the nominated beneficiary predeceases the policyholder. At L'Aise de la Harpe, Sanlam urges South Africans to pause before withdrawing at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam. FSCA publishes final joint standard on cybersecurity and cyber resilience requirements for financial institutions at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam divorce amendment bill signed into law at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes proposed amendments to the conditions for Section 14 transfers in terms of the Pension Funds Act at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam ASISA publishes updated guidelines on the protection of personal information at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam Two Pots, Pension Laws Amendment Bill 2024 adopted by Parliament at L'Aise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes the final interpretation ruling 1 of 2024, RF. On the application of Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act, 1956 at L'Aise de la Harpe, Sanlam Two Pots Update. Treasury publishes Draft Revenue Laws Second Amendment Bill, 2024 at L'Isle de la Harpe, Sanlam Two Pots. National Assembly passes revenue laws, RLAB. Bill, the 20th of February 2024 at L'Isle de la Harpe, Sanlam Two Pots. FSCA today published requirements for rule amendments at L'Isle de la Harpe, Sanlam contractual capacity of minors. At L'Isle de la Harpe, Sanlam pension interest and the joint estate. The impact of the Indaba judgment at L'Isle de la Harpe, Sanlam can you depose an affidavit virtually. At L'Isle de la Harpe, Sanlam two-pot retirement system. Reset back to the 1st of March 2024 share on your socials.